This week on Barbell Shrugged, we talk about the weightlifting flaws that you might be making and how to fix them.
Hey, this is Rich Froning. You're listening to Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to barbellshrugged.com.
Welcome to Barbell Shrugged. I'm Mike Bledsoe here with Doug Larson and Chris Moore.
Hello.
We brought on Alex Macklin as our guest.
Hey, Mac.
What's up?
Alex Macklin.
Hey, Mac.
You may know him if you're in the six-month muscle gain challenge. If you're not, you may not know him. He's been on a couple of episodes, though. And today we're going to be talking about common mistakes that we see, things we see in the gym and things we see in the six-month muscle gain when we're looking at weightlifting. Alex is a fantastic weightlifter, and he coaches our Weightlifting 101 class at Faction. And he also monitors the Facebook forums that people are in for the six-month muscle gain. So he's constantly seeing common problems and helping guys out via video and pictures and stuff like that.
To add some perspective to that, for people that aren't in that program, basically the way it works is all the guys in that six-month program get a workout sent to them every single day along with some videos that show them what to do, and then they are all part of a Facebook group, and in that group they can submit videos of them doing their lifts, and then us as the coaches will go in there and tell them what they're doing wrong, you know, keep your heels down, better posture, better first pull, and we'll go in there and coach the guys through the videos that they submit, and Alex is one of the coaches that goes in there and helps with the weightlifting specifically. So just to add some context so everyone knows kind of what we're talking about here. What are we trying to figure out?
Let's make sure it's recorded.
Is it recording?
Chris Moore is over here making hand signals.
I couldn't see.
He was like, what do I do with my hands?
No, man.
Looked like he had a big question on his face.
No, man. Let me use my hippie voice to explain to you what's going on, man. It was all stretched in. I couldn't see the little waveforms.
Stretched
I was like, shit,
in.
We're not even.
Stretched in.
It was everything stretched in. Yeah, okay.
So in the room, we also have Mr. Dave Ferguson in the background. He is here as my beard bodyguard.
Anyone touches the beard, Dave takes him out.
That's right. Armbar.
That beard's coming off.
The beard is coming off soon.
We got 100 shares on the
some
video.
Some people are a little more aggressive about it than I
like.
Are
you going to do it for real?
Yeah, I'm going to shave this off. I mean, I said I would. I have to.
Can I recommend something? You said, did you define what shave meant?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Well, that could be, I recommend you could do a goatee. It's a little 90s. You could trim it down to do like a little sculptured low profile thing.
I'm just going to shave it and go back
you
to
go.
I figured we were going to go through phases.
I'm going to go through zero. I'm going to go to zero and then bring it back to
that.
Like,
I don't, man, Civil I don't War, think you Burnside should. Burnside type thing. You know?
I thought you were going to go to like big goatee and pork chops and then down to the mustache and then down to nothing.
I could do a goatee and chops for a day, and then I could do chops and mustache for a day. And then,
I don't think you should just go down the perfectly baby face skin, man. That's going to be quite, I won't be able to look at you for 2 weeks, probably, as you grow
two, 3 weeks, yeah.
It's tough to look, you change. Yeah. Like a child, man.
All right, let's get on topic. So today we're talking about common weightlifting mistakes, and why do we want to fix these problems, Alex? Why would anyone want to work on their weightlifting?
It's the biggest socially troubling phenomenon in our society today.
I mean, well, obvious.
Besides Ben Affleck being Batman, of course.
Don't even bring that up yet. Save that for the end.
Well, obviously, I mean, you want to be a better weightlifter. If you do weightlifting, you want to be as good as you can. You want to reach your maximum potential. I mean, you want to be able to do your maximum loads. Mm-hmm. Safety reasons. You know, you don't want to hurt your back.
You want to look cool in front of
better technique.
Too.
Better technique is injury,
safer.
Injury prevention.
Yeah, exactly.
You have better techniques. You have better leverage, so you can lift heavier weight. So you're going to be able to PR.
Right.
Just by improving your technique alone, independent of getting stronger.
Right. Yep. And I mean, if you're a serious or even just just occasional CrossFit competitive athlete. You know, if you have better technique, you will be better at doing these wads. I mean, almost every wad in the games or any kind of CrossFit competition involves you doing some kind of barbell movement with, you know, clean and jerks or snatches. So if mm-hmm. you are able to move that bar more efficiently, have better technique, you're mm-hmm. going to move faster, you're going to get through the wad faster, and you're going to have better time, and you're probably going to end up on the podium.
Yeah, better technique means more efficient, and more efficient means you're spending less energy per rep, Right. Which means you can do more reps faster. That's the whole point of the sport of CrossFit. More work in less time and better technique makes it where you spend less energy per rep so you can go faster.
Absolutely.
I would probably say, everybody keep in mind, there's a balancing thing because somebody's like, oh yeah, then how come Kendrick did 3 minute blah, blah, blah on the thing? Technique plus you being fit already will equal you being less tired.
Right.
Yeah, you, well, you still have to be in really good condition for that, for that specific event. And Kendrick is not training for 30 reps of 135 at all.
And he still did it in 3 minutes, which is still impressive for his
Every rep looked like every other rep, which is pretty fantastic.
Right.
If Kendrick dedicated some training time to that specific event, he could cut his time down by like a third.
What I wanted to do
he could probably do like a minute 10 with 2 months training.
He could do it in a month. I think in a month he could get down to a minute. I don't think that'd be
crazy.
No.
Well, snipping that red wire so the trolls, that's one less bomb for the trolls to throw in the YouTube comments. Oh yeah, dude. Technique's so important. How come blah blah? Go away. One less thing to talk about.
Oh jeez.
All right, so we have all these different mobility mistakes, which we haven't really mentioned yet. But
mobility mistakes.
Oh, excuse me.
What's a mobility mistake?
That's the first thing that we're going to use to fix it.
It's
we have
your
all these
fault.
Different weightlifting technique mistakes, and there's a million ways to why you might have a mobility. I keep getting focused on mobility. I'm the mobility guy.
I think.
Well, that's the first point.
Yeah, I'm going to take over real quick.
Yeah.
Just shut up, Doug. Like, I think one problem we see is people end up not knowing that they're as bad off as they are. Because, say, they're the best in their gym.
Right.
Or they're the best. Or they're the best in their garage, you know, which is maybe
or they
just
work
by
out
themselves.
Population or they work out by themselves.
Population
exactly.
One, they're the best.
They don't know.
But they don't realize all the things they're doing wrong. They feel like they're doing better. A lot of times they think, oh, I just need to get stronger. I need to get a bigger front squat so I can clean more. And I see most often people come into the six-month muscle gain and we go, oh, you should try this. And we're like, oh, I didn't know I was supposed to do that. And then all of a sudden things get faster and easier.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh. You know, life just got better, and all I had to do was practice this thing for a week, and now the bar's moving faster. I hit this big PR, mm-hmm. And it wasn't exactly a strength thing. It was you just cleaned up your technique, and all of a sudden, things got faster and easier.
So in the six-month muscle gain challenge or the weightlifting course that you teach at Faction, what's probably the number one thing that comes to mind as far as bad technique? What are you constantly fixing over and over and over again?
Definitely not finishing the pull. Now, that's kind of vague and broad basically not standing all the way up and getting the hips underneath the bar to get in that jumping position where you can explode upward. A lot of people will tend to try to rush that pull, and so they'll try to get the hips really forward really quickly and they don't finish their pull, and so the bar is out in front and they often miss in front, or it feels very heavy coming up and it should feel very light and fast. The bar should feel very light and fast coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably the main thing I see, and I'm correcting the most, is people not completely finishing that pull, getting the bar into the hips.
Confidence to hold the line and be patient.
What causes people to not finish the pull? What are some things that they do?
One, and this goes along with another common mistake, is not staying back on the heels throughout the lift from the ground. So what people will tend to do is that if they'll rush their hips forward, they'll end up becoming toe heavy, and so the bar is going to be lower on their thighs. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be in an ideal position. If they have a bad start position, then the bar is going to be out in front a little bit. Just basically not staying back on the heels and not keeping the bar close to the body.
I think a lot of people think about jumping too much.
I'm not
really a big fan of Bergner warm-up.
Yeah.
Just because it's teaching you to move your body up and not really the bar too much. I mean, I think a lot of people, it's people's interpretation of the warm-up.
Right.
The Bergner warm-up, I think, is messed up. And what ends up happening is they get past their knees and then they want to move the weight to their toes
because
that's how you jump, right?
Exactly.
But that's not exactly how you snatch or clean because you actually want to finish with your hips with the weight still on your heels.
Yeah, weightlifting is all about position. So if you're not in the right position, everything's going to be off. So you have to make sure that you're able to be in that proper position. And so you're going to have to basically practice a lot of those drills, like doing a lot of those the Thacker warm up and things like that, so you can learn that position
and do things like do things like RDLs to practice having your back
being strong in those positions. Absolutely.
Because I think most people just aren't strong enough to hold it long enough to get it where it needs to go. That's why you need to do things like RDLs and snatch pulls with holds. Like, okay, here's what this position feels like. Observe. I'm on my heel. That's what it feels like. Mm-hmm. Build the strength that requires to be there. I guess that's all the first pull is, right? It's just to get to where it needs to go. Then you go.
Yeah, the first pull, the whole point of the first pull is to have a good setup for your second pull.
Right.
Because it doesn't matter what else happens at all in the lift if your first pull is messed up, because you're already out of position and you're not going to get that position back. You're not going to have a bad first pull and then have a good second pull.
That never
happens. It's not going to happen.
Never happens.
And that happens. Yeah. And, you know, a bad first pull can be the cause of either, you know, and this, I see this a lot. People will have, like, you'll have your hips come up, you know, faster than your knees. And so what ends up happening is that if your butt's all in there, guess where the weight is.
The weight's stripper snatch.
Yeah, the weight's on your toes now. So you're doomed.
Stripper snatch can be
taken. You're doomed from the get-go because the weight's already out in front. You're already toe heavy.
Well, I'll correct you, bro. Let me correct you. You're doomed unless you're Russian.
Yeah.
You just snatch that shit. You just snatch 4 pounds over your head with your heels touching and your ass in the air. It doesn't matter.
Hey, nobody listen to Chris Moore right now. He's confusing you.
Mike tells me all the time I'm not Chinese enough to not like a Chinese lifter.
Yeah, all these Chinese guys online doing this. I want to try that.
I see Alex trying something in the corner. I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, well, I saw this on a YouTube video. I'm like, you're not Chinese enough for that, bro.
Yeah.
Hashtag not Chinese enough. Complaints to follow.
I want to go back to a little bit of what Chris was, or you said it, Alex. It was being strong in positions.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times what you'll see with CrossFit is the coach, or any weightlifting coach maybe that is not very, hasn't been doing this very long, will say, okay, we're gonna practice the movement with a PVC pipe or an empty barbell. All right, now we're gonna work up to one rep max. And that's like the exposure that a lot of people get to weightlifting. You know, it's like, okay, PVC pipe, all right, we'll just work up to a heavy snatch. And they never go through like position deadlifts.
Right.
Let's practice pulling a heavy weight to the knees with proper technique. All right, let's work on moving up to mid thigh, and then you can kind of slowing it down. You don't have to, you break it down into segments, and you get strong in positions. And maybe you don't worry about being fast yet because speed will come with good positions.
Right.
One of the things that helped me get better weightlifting the fastest was doing technique reps, doing singles with like 50 or 60%, where it was heavy enough to feel, but I could still move fast enough to do it perfect every time. So I'd start my workouts out doing like a set of 10 with like 30 seconds or maybe a minute in between those reps, where I wasn't getting fatigued, but I was doing perfect reps every single time. And then I'd start to build up and go heavier after I did all my technique work with kind of a moderate weight, like 50 or 60%.
Yeah, I actually like to do, 50, 60%, like moderate rep, a lot of reps at moderate weights where you're not going to screw it up. But then when you get heavy, segment it with weight. And then, you know, months and months and months down the road, you piece it all together and all of a sudden you can be in decent positions with heavy weight. And
right,
that's how you're going to make progress.
And that's the thing. I mean, it's not going to be overnight. Like you guys are saying, you have to practice all the time. It's not something that, you know, you have to do 1,000 reps before you can learn, you know, the proper way. And if you've been doing it wrong or not the best way, then it's going to take 1,000 more reps to unlearn it and do it, you know, a better way.
I'd rather have an athlete that hasn't tried doing it before than have someone who's been doing it wrong for 2 years.
Yeah, I've had some people in that weight one-on-one class. One of the guys, he never had touched a barbell before, and I think that's the best, because if you learn the right way to do it, you'll be much better off.
Especially
down
if you're, there's no unlearning. Unlearning is always harder than learning.
Yeah,
especially if you have a little bit of athletic background, we can move really well with that blank slate. Then you're doing it. I guess that's a good time to make that point. I guess rule number one to getting good at weightlifting is to be easy on yourself and give yourself a chance to get familiar with it. People try to learn it for 2, 3, 4 weeks, a month, 2 months. I go, man, this is not coming for me.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna be really frustrated.
It's incredibly hard to move really efficiently and sharply in perfect position under a heavy load. This is a very complex thing. This is way more complex than anything else you're doing in your life, probably. Like, yeah. Probably the hardest thing you're going to do. So you're not going to master this in a month. So that takes somebody else 10 years to master.
All the people that don't do weightlifting are like, that dude's full of shit. And all the weightlifters are like, yeah.
No, right, if you think I'm right. full of shit. Like, I know all the powerlifters who are listening are like, fuck you, dude. Weightlifters, they want to get better. They need to deadlift more. And I will tell you, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't. I could have a guy who deadlifts fucking 1,000 pounds go, here. Clean jerk 400 pounds. Like, fuck it, I can do that. And then they deadlift the fastest shit and then nothing happens. Because this is hard. It's much harder than all that silly shit. Give yourself a break.
Well, what do you say, Chris, about someone who takes somebody and makes their deadlift higher and then their power clean all of a sudden goes up?
We've heard this story before. Yeah, I've seen it before. And it's true. If you get stronger when you're... Like, if I take a young college football player who can deadlift 400 pounds... 18-year-old kid or something, and he's fit and strong and fast. He doesn't really know the lifts at all yet, because what football player does know the lifts really well? It's kind of a rare thing. But if you take that guy who knows rudimentary movement and you make him deadlift 500, the bar just feels that much lighter, and it works for a while. The problem is, if you try to then use that approach to make the former 200-pound power clean go from 300 to now 400, that's when that shit doesn't work anymore without the mechanics. It just doesn't work. It can't be done. Every power out there and every strongman is like, all you need to do is do what I do, then the American way of thing will be fixed. It's just not true. It's like me saying, if all I need to do is implement my problems, I'll fix all of government. That shit ain't true. These are some things just ain't true, and that's one of them, homie.
I know, Mike. When Mike teaches his weightlifting seminars, he basically talks about the triad, which is the combination of strength, mobility, and technique. And you got to have a balance between those three things. And where people fall short is that they focus on one piece of that, three-part series, and they don't focus on the other two. So powerlifters might focus too much on strength and not on technique and mobility as much. So, some people knock American weightlifters for only focusing on technique and not for focusing on strength enough. Whether that's true or not is debatable. But having a balance between all three of those things is what will ultimately make you have the ability to be a good weightlifter.
Now, you didn't know what weightlifting means? I don't think everyone's focused on technique that much.
Yeah, that's just those are assumptions
you
people
should
are
be.
Making.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, we're not. Like, are not.
It's like if we're focusing on technique, man, we're doing a terrible job at it. Like,
I guess people watch.
I'm not saying we all have bad technique.
Somebody sits down in the crowd and sees them moving well. And they go, well, how come they're just not lifting as much? It will just get stronger. I guess that's just the high-level view people see of American weightlifting. Oh, just get stronger. Then you'll just lift as much as those guys in Siberia.
Yeah. And I hate talking about this because this is like the easy scapegoat like claim. It's like, why don't Americans lift as much as somebody else or another country? It's like, well, we do regularly drug test.
Yeah, drugs have a lot to do with it. But
I mean, you take our best lifter and you give him a gram of test a week for a couple months. He'll
win everything.
I think the research was saying that like he could increase his strength by 10%.
Yeah, he
increased Kendrick Ferris's lifts by 10%.
Yeah,
he's a monster.
He now has world records.
Look, that's the point. People like Jared Fleming and Kendrick and Donovan at the training center. I've watched these guys squat and lift and
they're strong
work. They're strong as shit. They're strong as anybody,
and that's the thing.
They're strong as anybody.
They
just can't practice as much because they're not on dope. Yeah. some people may be fooling around with some things. I'm not going to be the guy who's like, troll comment number two. Somebody, you going to tell me there's no U.S. Well, you're a fool, Chris Moore. I'm saying that if you compare us to other countries, what they administer, it's almost like you will get laughed at if you're not on heavy amounts. Like, oh, what do you mean you're not taking your supplemental regime? Are you an idiot?
And, I mean,
I always figured all of our potential Olympians were all fullbacks in the NFL.
And I mean, our lifters have great technique.
There are guys in the NFL right now who will wake up in the morning and eat Cheetos for breakfast and then go for 8 hours, run into other genetic freaks, and they get paid $10 million for it. Like, and then dominate American football with no effort into what they're doing. If you put them into a similar situation that like Kolkov is in, you'd have monsters. You'd have human monsters just snatching anything.
All right, let's get back to clean and jerk and snatch technique flaws.
I know one of the things that you bring up a lot is people have a lot of trouble pulling under the bar.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people will only be able to power clean or power snatch, and it'll take them another 6 or 8 months to be able to catch in a rock bottom position.
Right.
With good technique.
Right. Well, a lot of that... There's a lot of that has to go into that. One of the big things is definitely mobility. you know, if you're if you lack the shoulder mobility or the hip mobility to get deep into the squat, especially with the snatch, that's the biggest thing to snatch. So if you don't have that mobility, it's going to be a lot more difficult. You're not going to feel as comfortable in that bottom position.
Yeah, catching really low in an overhead squat is an interesting thing because you can have a mobility restriction almost anywhere, and it can prevent you from doing that. Whether it's hip, ankle, I mean, or shoulders, it can screw you up.
The bar has to be in the right place, and if the bar is not in that right place, it is done.
It really holds up my snatch. It's just brutal, coach.
The second thing that people tend to not do really is keeping a lot of tension on the bar and really think about pulling the bar and pulling your body under the bar. People think that, oh, if I pull the bar high, the bar is just going to land where it's supposed to go, but that's not true at all. You need to put that bar where it needs to go, so you have to aggressively pull your body underneath the bar. And I mean, that's one thing people think, oh, there's first pull, second pull, third pull. It's one continuous pull until you're underneath the barbell.
Do you think that leads to a lot of inconsistency as well? Because like if I go to pull, I go, all right, straight arms, back, everything where it needs to go. And I pull, I go, bah! And I explode, and I just quit using my arms. And I guess the bar could just start venturing wherever it wants to go, right? It's floating, and you're
That's what happened. It's floating.
So ideas, you don't want to explode. Yeah, you want to explode, and then use your arms to guide yourself right in the pocket. Right.
Again. You absolutely want to continue pulling on the bar as hard as possible until you are underneath the bar.
Yeah, I think the whole make your arms ropes, and I it depends on when if the athlete when I'm watching them, if they're getting a little too much early arm pull, then I'll be like, just treat your arms like ropes and your hands like hooks, okay? But I think what's happening is people take that too far. They're like, oh, my arms are ropes the whole time.
I'm just until it gets overhead,
right? So what they do is they pop it off their hips, and then they go, I hope I can catch this.
I have rope arms, coach.
And that's why, like, why do so many lifters make 50% of their lifts at 90%?
Right.
It's because you're getting lucky half the time.
Right.
And you probably have pretty good aim, but it could be a lot better. So one of the things that I think really helps is first engaging your shoulders, really using your lats when you pass your knees, and help use your shoulders to keep that bar close to your body as you come up. And that engagement of the shoulder on the way up is going to help it stay engaged when you're supposed to be pulling under. And the other thing is after the bar touches your hips, man, your biceps should be ripping your body underneath that bar. Should be just as much of a pull under as it was a pull up for your legs.
Like when you see a guy, a big time weightlifter, which even I've been looking at this for like 2 decades, I still, every YouTube video I see of a guy, like I watched one yesterday, this Russian lifter going for a snatch double at 190 kilos, weighing like 225. I know I mixed my 100 kilo body weight. So I mixed kilos of pounds in one example. I'm confused. But it's not, they're not exploding up with hips with loose arms and all of a sudden just catching 440 pounds or 420. That's not how it's happening. You got to have that whole complex tight the whole time if you want to have that stable when it hits you. Because catching a huge weight overhead with loose arms and shoulders, you're going to immediately drop that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have to be extremely aggressive and extremely tight throughout the entire lift. And that's one thing I see a lot of people do is that, you know, they won't be tight from the start. You know, if you're not tight from the start, you're not aggressive, your chances of you making a heavy lift are very slim.
And you can be heavy. I mean, you can be aggressive without ripping the bar off the floor.
Right, exactly. Right. Yeah, that's another thing to see. Being really fast off the floor.
Be fast. Slow down. Be loose. Because
I mean, if you're fast off the floor, pulling off the floor, ripping it off the floor, you're probably not in a good position.
Unless you're too.
But Chris's point from earlier, picks it up fast.
He does pick it up fast, but he does it perfect every time.
He does, but he has how many years of experience he has lifting?
Exactly. Well, dude, that's impressive to watch.
We say not to go too fast off the floor. We really mean don't go so fast that you change your technique.
Right.
You're supposed to go as fast as possible with good technique, but some people, when they try to pull extra fast, their butt shoots up, they get toe heavy, everything gets out in front of them, and then missing the lift forward.
You can go too slow, because we see that.
Unless you've been lifting for 5 years, you're probably going too fast off the floor. Like, you can probably go slower and get more benefit out of that. Once you've been lifting for 5 years, then you can start trying to speed it up off the floor.
I mean, going back to that, getting on the bar, and a lot of times, the last thing I'm seeing is confidence. You know, a lot of people, because they're not used to getting under the bar, they'll be afraid. And this is also my problem. This is my problem too. Like before I, you know, start fixing this, but
you're not a perfect lifter.
I know, I'm not. But not being confident to get down in that position. So I mean, if you're always catching it high, if you're always power clean or power snatch, ride it down. You know, get in that bottom of the squat, sit in that squat. Like. Yeah, you gotta see what it's like, because if you don't get that feel every time, then you're just not gonna know.
It's not a good example to get compared to, but the same kind of phenomenon happens in powerlifting where guys will get so uptight about the weight they're moving, they'll start doing things like we talked about deadlifts last week, rack pulls. The problem is you get so strong in one place.
Right.
Power clean seems to be the same kind of thing happening.
Right.
I'm so good at power clean. How come I try to squat clean?
I can't squat clean.
Because you don't move the range of motion. Like if you never pick things off the ground, how can you be strong down there? If you never touch your chest all the way when you bench press because you like doing partials because you look stronger, well, how can you lower something then? I guess the same thing with squat clean. If you've never been down there, how do you know how to navigate that situation?
And how are you going to notice? How are you going to stand up? A lot of people can't stand up.
You don't know, player.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how you can fix these problems.
Forever. Perfection.
I don't want to know that stuff, man.
Get that shit out of here.
I want a certain level of privacy in my life. So.
And you think you have that.
I'm going to do my best.
And we're back.
And we're back. For the weightlifting technique flaws episode.
Oh yeah, that's
we were talking about weightlifting technique flaws that you might have, and now we're going to talk about how you might be able to fix those.
We talked about all the problems. Let's talk solutions.
You know what I just realized is I didn't do the intro right today.
You sure did.
I'm a terrible, terrible person.
Why don't you do it now?
Make sure you go to barbellshrug.com and sign up for the newsletter. We're doing new stuff all the time. And that's the best way to keep up with what we're doing, because we're obviously not good at mentioning things on the podcast that are important.
It's hard. I forgive you. Chris forgives you.
So, I mean, we're going to be doing like a live thing with Brian McKenzie here soon. We got the Barbell Shrugged weightlifting meet coming up. But these are things that we don't normally talk about on the podcast because we just don't know.
Scatterbrained,
man. It's the weekend. So
maybe once you cut that beard off, some of the energy that goes to growing that will go to your brain again.
Could be.
It's like a plant. If you trim off some of the leaves, it starts putting out more fruit. That could be your situation.
Oh. It all makes sense now.
It makes total sense.
Oh, yeah. Scratches his beard, deep thought moment.
I don't think it'll help.
All right, so if your weightlifting isn't as good as you'd like it to be, what are a couple of ways that you could go about fixing all of your technique flaws that you may not even know that you have?
Well, what I've seen help a lot of people in my class is definitely doing the Thacker warm up. The Thacker warm up. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Yeah, explain what that is.
Yeah, so that's basically a warm up that was coined by Justin Thacker. He's a coach out in St. Louis, but
I like it so far.
But
episode
60. What is supposed 60? To? Yeah,
6-0.
Good memory
60.
On that boy.
I know.
And 34.
Wow.
Are you just naming numbers? Is that true, what you're saying? Is that just numbers?
He doesn't know. He doesn't know.
It's 34.
If you check out episodes 1 through 77, and you'll find it.
All right, so Justin Thacker has a series of warm-ups that he does, and we use those in the weightlifting class and in the muscle gain program.
Yeah. It's basically, you know, just to get your body primed to move the barbell efficiently with that perfect bar path. So there's three main parts, A, B, and C, gradually progressing. It's a gradual progression. So what it's supposed to do is just get you to hammer those positions down. Mm-hmm. So you get that muscle memory, that mental memory of the positions that you need to be in. Because like we said before, positioning is probably one of the most important things is the most important thing of weightlifting technique is position.
Okay.
So doing that warm-up.
So specifically, what positions do you need to kind of stretch in? What are the position stretches?
Well, the first position stretch is, you know, you're just in the bottom of a squat. So you get loose in the bottom of the squat, get used to being in that squat position. Mm-hmm. You have the bar, you know, sitting on the quads. So you can sit in that squat position for, you know, quite a long time. And then, you know, if you're doing the snatch, you either have the bar raised overhead in that snatch position, okay? Mm-hmm. So you get that feeling of pushing up on that barbell, you know, really getting the active shoulders, and then, you know, you do an overhead squat. So it's that gradual progression, mm-hmm. you know, to get you primed to move some weight. And so then, you know, the next part is the position progression. So you start from, you know, you pause at each position. So you're going to pause at the floor. So you get in that good start position. So you always are in that tight, solid, rigid position at the bottom.
Sounds great so far.
Yeah. And then, you know, your second position is at the knees. So you're practicing that first pull. And then the third position is, you know, higher up the thighs and the pocket. So you're getting to that.
Tucking it right in there.
Oh, yeah.
Getting like cozy.
Right, so you're getting mm-hmm. it right, keeping the bar close. And that's important. So, and then. Mm-hmm. And then you do, you know, your power snatches, your power cleans, and your full cleans or full snatches. And so mm-hmm. you're constantly just adding that to progression. And so you can get that drilled in.
So all this is done with an empty barbell. It's a lot of repetitions in perfect positions. Yeah. That way, when you go to start adding weight to the bar, you've already done a bunch of, you know, very light, unloaded repetitions. Right. And so you've been in every position that you're going to be in for the workout. You should be warm through all the appropriate ranges of motion.
Probably okay if guys use like just a pipe to begin, right? Because it's probably a lot of work. So for some people, it's probably like a training session. I've seen that in the forum.
It's Piper very challenging. You can put weight on it. And in fact, for the other parts of the warm up, particularly the second and third parts, you do typically want to put some bumpers on there so you can be in the right starting position. But you definitely want to keep it light because it is challenging. A lot of people complain.
Smoke
they're
your
like,
ass,
I don't think there's a lot of room for empty with a pipe. I think it's empty barbell's fine. Some guys might want to go with like a training bar.
Yeah.
But 35-pound women's bar might work really well too.
I'm not a big fan of the PVC pipe with the Thacker method.
Yeah. You definitely want to use the bar because get used to using the bar. You know,
suck it up. Yeah. It's really hard. I guess that if your warm up is really, really tough, like that's just a sign that you should be doing a lot more things.
Right. Yeah. No big deal. If you get tired, put the weight down, rest for a second,
shake
get
it back out. Up. Yeah.
You'll get in shape.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to really see what the hell we're talking about, this might be hard to visualize. If you've never done it before, we have a four-part video series that we did with Justin Thacker. That's part of the Technique Quad, part of our Technique Quad video. So just Google Justin Thacker Technique Quad, and he has that four-part series, so you can watch the whole thing.
That was an interesting idea. When it brought me back to the example of Kendrick and that wad. People come, he's out of shape in that. But to be this kind of weightlifter, your shape, quote-unquote, people can't see me making quote signs, your shape... is actually your work capacity in these motions, in these positions, is astronomical.
Yeah,
dude, that's like to jerk with good form, like 400 for five, is a really fit thing to do.
Yeah.
So we're using that term like get in shape, kind of specifically here, like in these positions, in these ways of moving, it could be very foreign to you. Even if you have been doing CrossFit, if you're tired, don't think like, oh shit, why is this so hard? Why am I out of shape? It's just a different kind of thing you're developing. Yeah, it's very specific.
Yeah, I mean, being in shape just means you're able to do what you want to do.
Yeah, and this is a very specific thing.
If you don't want to do 30 snatches for time, then that's not the kind of shape you're going to be in.
Yeah.
You're going to be in great shape in another way. Another thing I like about the Thacker method is just it's you're simultaneously working on mobility. So not the way a lot of times people think about mobility. Usually people think about mobility and they think bands and holding stretches.
Gnashing your chode out.
Yeah, you know, lacrosse balls and all that kind of stuff, which is good, which I think you should do as well. But with the Thacker method, it kind of it's
more specific.
As you're going through like the position stretches before the ABCs. The ABCs is like you are working through the positions, but before that you're going to do the positional stretches.
Right.
And you know that's where you're holding the bar on your knees and you're working that ankle mobility in your hips. You're getting your hips nice and low. And then you're going to get overhead. If you're doing a snatch, we're going to get in the rack position with the clean. And you're going to really stretch those shoulders out and get those shoulders in the position you want to have heavy weight overhead with.
Yep.
And then you're going to get to the bottom of the squat with an overhead squat or a front squat. And then you're going to work, you know, that's going to be shoulders, hips, and ankles. And you're going to hold those positions like you would any stretch, but it's going to be with a barbell. It's going to be extremely weightlifting specific. You can be pretty weightlifting mobile, I guess you could say, and not have like great mobility in some other areas where people traditionally think being very flexible, like you're not going to be a yogi if all you do is bar stretches. But
That's good because I want to be a yogi now.
If you combine, if you combine those yoga stretches with some good weightlifting specific stretches, then you'll be in a nice healthy spot.
Yeah. So in an ideal world, it would be good to have a a high level weightlifting coach that could be there to watch you and critique you and give you like immediate feedback. But that's a little bit too much of an idealism for most people. Most people don't have a high level weightlifting coach.
There's not
at their
too many
disposal.
Gyms that have the high level weightlifting.
Not everybody has you walking around, Alex. That's right. Jesus.
So if that's the case, what can people do to still get some great coaching and still improve their lifts?
If they don't live in Memphis, they can't hire Alex Macklin. What should they do?
They shouldn't watch Chinese whaling videos and copy, right? They shouldn't do that shit.
Well, I mean,
it's cool.
I mean,
it looks great. This, remember, you're not Chinese. Yeah. Step first.
Well, one of the things that definitely you can do is, tape your own lifts. Review your own lifts.
You're not going to tell them it's not taping? Jesus. I thought we went over this.
Why? Do you not watch the show? What is going on?
Not all the time.
It's not taping.
Recording?
It's
recording.
Not 1991.
Watch the beard video. I'll tell
you
all about
it. Not trying to communicate with your grandmother here.
All
right,
so
sonograph yourself fucking recording.
So you can record. You can record your own lifts.
Thank
you. Watch them. Watch them or send them in.
People forget how you got a a phone in your pocket right now that'll take HD video of you. You can set it anywhere.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You can put it on YouTube. You can watch it immediately. That's a huge tool because the bottom line is the thing people forget. What you feel like what's happening is probably not what's actually happening. Right. Oh, I feel like I'm right there. Oh, I feel like I got it right position. And you watch it. Oh, shit. I wasn't even close.
Yeah.
Dude, record two things. Record yourself one lift from directly from the front. One lift directly from the side. Put both videos on Facebook and just write, what do you think I'm doing wrong?
Yeah.
And just see what the world tells you.
And there's a lot of people.
All the people that you know don't know what they're talking about, don't listen to them. And all the people that you do know what they're talking about, take their
troll
advice.
Troll comment number three. You're inviting trolls into your world and you do this shit.
It's true.
Think you look like a fucking bitch.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta
that's what I think.
Do you even lift? No, you gotta filter through the other stuff.
Don't ask your friends how your snatch looks.
Yeah.
Too light, homo. There's fucking whale in that bar.
There's a lot of people that, if you post it on Facebook, some people who know what they're talking about, man,
If you got a lot of CrossFit friends, they will help you out.
Yeah, they're good people.
Yeah.
Well, just looking at your own lifts yourself, I mean, that's huge because if you haven't gotten to the point where you can feel how it's supposed to be,
right.
Seeing how it, if you just watch some videos of some guys that know what they're doing and then watch yourself, it might become extremely apparent what you might be doing wrong. Yeah.
I don't look like them at all.
And that's another thing.
I'm either awesome or I'm terrible.
You said don't watch Chinese lifters, but actually, a good way to see if you're actually doing proper technique is to watch somebody with really good technique. So if you, get on YouTube and watch the Olympics, the recording of the 2012 Olympics, watch those guys lift.
Yeah.
Being a very
visual learner, if I watch somebody that is really, really, really good, I can just be like, oh, that's what it's supposed to look like. I'm going to go pretend I'm that guy. Much better.
Play that YouTube video and just open up on your browser or whatever the video you took of yourself. Just lay them side by side. Find a couple examples. Just do your research. Compare. It's not a perfect way to start. It's not ideal for somebody walking you through what is the problem. You'll be able to see the patterns emerge. Like, wow, I'm not doing what these five guys all seem to do.
Yeah,
I need to work on that.
Actually, I saw some of the biggest improvements in my weightlifting. I would watch Pedros Dimas. I would watch him lift right before I would lift.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And then I would be like, I'm Pyrrhus Demas. And then
sounds crazy, but it helps.
Yeah. It does help.
Doug even said, man, you look like Pyrrhus Demas.
Mission accomplished.
That's right.
Yeah, you just watch how he slaps his feet on the ground because he's moving so fast.
Yeah, it's
he,
just
you watch a guy
powerful.
Just casually pick up 300 pounds like, whoa, man, he blew my mind. Or, I'm sorry, dude, I'm not even a whale, but every time I train, I'll go out and watch a few of Klokov's crazy-ass videos before I go into the garage just to see. Okay, here's the kind of vibe I can take in the gym with me. Watch this guy just dominate and be intense, and it changes everything. Yeah,
we need
that kind
to start
of work
the trend
in.
Where instead of basketball players, we'll be like Kobe or LeBron,
Klokov. He's coming to the States. We're gonna try to have vodka shots with that dude. I got a contact. We're gonna try to make that shit.
No,
I'm gonna try to find some way.
Dude, if we can get Klokov,
we're gonna work on it.
Man,
we're gonna fucking work on that shit.
Jeez.
We need a translator though.
I would make some pretty big sacrifices to make that one
happen. I'm Klokov. You ask me a question. Go. Ready? Go. How'd you get so handsome, Khloe Kara? No, ask me a question. I'll go, ask anything. Ask me about my pool. Ask me.
I'm starstruck. I can't say anything.
No. I go, is a volcano pool 250 kilo? Five time.
Alex, what's your favorite video? You have a video that you like. You repeatedly go back to. You're like
Dan Flagg.
Dan Flagg. That's right. Inside joke.
I'll be at the CTP cam.
CTP cam. Okay. There you go. Dan Flagg. Yeah. You have a favorite YouTube video of weightlifting that you just always go back to?
If it's max out snatch day or clean, what are you watching, dude? What's the one? I know we're asking a lot because there's a lot of awesome.
I mean, I've watched a lot, but that Piros Dimas, there's this one Piros Dimas video. It's an Iron Mind video.
The training hall
video.
This is the best one,
man. Training hall videos. He's like just doing power cleans with
the 300-pound power clean. That beyond, looks like he's just doing a reverse curl with an empty barbell.
The guy was like, "This is a weight beyond what any American lifter is doing." And he's just power cleaning it so fast. He says, powerful.
How many guys you see can just casually power clean 150 kilos?
I must have watched that video like
170 or 187.
He's
84 kilo, right?
Yeah,
85.
He's like Dr. Brian Schilling.
187. Yeah. Not a big guy to be doing that.
And you
much
watch
weight.
Him.
It's like double body weight for a power clean.
The speed of his jerks and cleans, the motion is just insane.
Yeah. Those are my favorite videos to watch when guys that are world class are doing like 70%.
Oh, God.
And it may, or maybe it's a weight that you might like be able to PR on. Like they're using your max weight, but they're just destroying it and they're moving so fast. Like that's always more impressive to me than watching them hit a one rep max of their own. Because one rep max, it kind of looks the same. Like, they're moving slow because it's really heavy for them, but to really see how fast they are, watching them at sub max is really impressive.
That brings us to a point also, is I think too many people practice with just enough speed to get the weight that they have on the bar overhead.
You should move fast all the time.
And so that doesn't mean, again, I think sometimes you go, hey, you should be moving fast all the time, and people go, well, I need to rip it off the floor then. No. Yeah. As fast as you possibly can go and with good positions.
Right.
That's how fast you should be going.
Right.
I think a lot of times people kind of get that mixed up a little bit.
You're never trying to move slow, right?
Exactly.
Ever.
You guys ever watch those Iron Mind videos of Vanev back when he was like in his prime? Like when he's pulling snatches, he pulls like 70, 100 kilos, 120, 130. Like he's just like building up like 5 kilos at a time, and every rep just looks ridiculously fast. That's my favorite video. That's actually why I brought that up, because I was thinking about that when you were talking.
And then the last
Google is Zlatan Vanev.
Last way to get to fix your problems is to have patience.
Yeah.
Oh God, it's so people boggle my fucking mind with the expectations they place on their poor selves. Like, I've never done anything ever in my life. I want to come into the gym. I want to snatch what Piers Dima snatches. I want to look like Camille Lesblanca blank blank. Camille Lesbanette block. I want to have abs like Rich Froning. Can I have all this in 1 month? Because if not, I'll get fucking frustrated and quit, and I'll troll your ass on YouTube forever.
Chris has no patience for people with no patience.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Yeah. No, but look, the bottom line is if you're going to get anywhere in this world and in this pursuit in CrossFit or whatever, if you really want to maximize your chances, what you'll do is you'll work as hard as you can, of course, and you'll study and you'll learn, but you won't start grasping too quickly, too hard for things outside of your reach right now. You can't put all this expectation. You can't say, I snatch 100 pounds now, I want to snatch 300. Okay, good, but first things first, learn how to put the bar where it's supposed to be. That's where you'll get your immediate satisfaction.
Right.
And if it takes a month to learn just that, it's 100% okay, because that's what you need to do.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people, they don't get, they set their expectations way up here, and I've done it a million times. I mean, I still make the mistake of setting my goals too far out. And I find that anytime I do that, I get not very far into my journey, and then I change goals or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
And I find that I'm the most successful at the things where I set extremely attainable goals. You know, and a lot of times, say if it's with weightlifting, it's not about how much bar weight is on the bar, but just the fact that I got in the train 5 times this week. Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It could be.
You did enough to not go backwards. That's progress. Sometimes.
I missed fewer lifts this week than I did last week. Say, you know, week after week, I'm working up to 90%. Or one way I like to train is I'll do like a wave loading cycle. And 3 weeks ago, I was hitting 90% for reps. And now, you know, for singles or doubles. And I missed 7 out of 10 lifts last month. This month, I got 9 out of 10 with the same exact weight. That's okay.
You're better.
I feel, I mean, that's progress, and that's what you got to be happy with.
No one but me can now use the word progress.
Been copyrighted?
Yeah.
Yeah, except for when you open up the book, it says it's not copyrighted.
That's what you think.
You explicitly write it. I'm playing at the bottom.
I'm very detailed legal strategy. I'm just joking. I'm bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, to learn weightlifting, I mean, it takes a lot of time. You're going to be really frustrated, and you just have to keep practicing. Also,
yeah, I mean a great line. I did this on the other. I told that story in the Barbell Buddha podcast. I tell a shorter story now, but I watched a cool video with Josh Homme, front man of Queens of Stone Age, and somebody asked him, "What do you tell a 10-year-old kid who wants to play guitar? What do you say? Because playing guitar is fucking hard." And he goes, "Oh, easy. You play because you love it. You do it for yourself. No one else. No other reason. It's like, it's great that I'm an awesome musician. I'm paid to do this. This is my job. There's not a day that goes by I don't love this. But I do it because I love it and for no other reason. So if you want to get really good, you'll do it because for you to get better at this clean, jerk, and snatch is what's important to you. Not what somebody else is doing. No, I want to find my path towards getting this number that's reasonable for me, for myself, and nobody else. If you start there, then you're going to get to a pretty far point. But not reaching for the thing, you're not looking at the prize first. That's not going to work.
Yeah.
So let's say your technique isn't where it should be. The big question that I get from people all the time is, well, should I stay light and work on my technique and then only go heavier once my technique is better? Or should I go heavier and get used to pulling heavier weights and try to improve it? You know, trying to prove while I'm doing the real thing. What's the answer? Should you go heavy now or wait and go heavy later?
Well, I mean, I think you definitely want to practice technique, you know, definitely with lighter weights. But that being said, you also don't just want to go light all the time. I mean, I think you should try to, you know, work up to something that is doable, you know, where your technique, you know, doesn't break down. Mm-hmm. And, you know, stick with that. So, like, you know, if your 100% is, you know, looks awful, then maybe you should dial it back down and just practice that, you know, with better technique.
90% might be better for you.
Yeah.
At that point.
Yeah.
That's where it's good to have like another person watching you.
Right.
Go, oh, your technique went totally shit. Like at 85%. Let's do more at 80% and then move up later.
Like people in the class, you know, I tell them, you know, we're trying to learn good technique. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a program, we have a workout that we prescribe, and you know, it'll be like, okay, let's do 85% for 2 reps. But if you're missing 85% over and over again, there is no point in you practicing bad form, especially if you got bad form. Mm-hmm. So you don't really want to learn bad form. You want to learn good form. So you need to take it down a little bit and get to a weight where you can keep that good form and nail it. And then, okay, all right, if it's looking pretty good, maybe work back up. Mm-hmm. But definitely you don't want to sit there and practice missing a lot.
Yeah, I've got a rule that anytime I'm over 85%, I try to implement this with our weightlifters.
Yeah.
Anytime we get over 85% or so and I miss a lift, sometimes if I miss one at 70%, maybe I got a little distracted in my head, you know, something came up and I was worried about having to shave my beard. And then, so, you know, I still make that 5% jump, you know, up to 80% from 75% or something like that. But once you get over 85%, like if I miss a lift, I just go back down.
Yeah.
I mean, not the third time I missed my lift. The first time I missed my lift after I get 85%, because from day to day, my 85% today may not be my 85% tomorrow. Yeah. And what I do is I just go down 5 pounds and then I hit that. And if I hit it, a lot of times I'll just smoke it and then I'll just go right back up and then I'll hit that and then I'll just keep going up.
Right.
Or sometimes I have to keep going down 2 or 3 times. I mean, that happens too. And yeah, I get upset with myself, but it's not the end of the world because guess what?
Not,
I'll train tomorrow and it'll probably be just fine.
And it's not, I mean, you're still making progress because you're getting quality reps in. If you're not,
exactly.
If you're not getting quality reps in, then there's no way that you're going to progress in the sport.
This is why I like following percentage-based programs for a lot of people. I think really advanced lifters, sticking to the percentages may not be as important. But if you're a beginner, like a lot of times I see people, you know, all right, we're going to work at 85%. And then they go, man, I felt so good. I just went for a PR. I'm like, well, we're going to do that next week. Yeah. You know, maybe you would have gotten more benefit out of just hanging out at 85% today, getting more quality reps, maybe you would have gotten an even bigger PR next week.
Right.
But now you just sacrificed next week's 10-pound PR with today's 5-pound PR.
You blew your load.
That's right.
I feel like with regards to bad technique, there's two different types of bad technique. There's technique that's not ideal and your leverage isn't as good as it could be, so maybe you won't pull quite as heavy as weight as you might have, as you might be able to with perfect technique. And then there's technique that's bad enough where you're going to hurt yourself.
Yeah.
And so if your technique is so bad, like your back is brutally round, your feet are out and your knees are diving in and you're twisting your knees like you're going to tear your ACL, then that's the time where you shouldn't go heavy.
Yeah,
you don't want to practice
should,
doing that. You're going to hurt yourself.
Definitely should stay light. Yeah.
You're going to get snatch cancer.
Yeah. If you,
snatch cancer.
If you're pulling with that rounded back and... You know, that you definitely should take the load off the weight of the bar.
Let me ask you this. This is a fun part. When you see that, somebody's like, oh, can you give me some, tell me what you think about my lift? And you go, what I want to say is, God help me, you're forsaken all that's holy about lifting, and you embarrass yourself and you're going to get injured and blow out your back. I just did the worst snatch I've ever seen. How do you break it to me?
Well,
hey, man, listen.
I would say
the compliment sandwich.
Yeah, I mean,
you're doing good. You're working hard. You fucking suck, but you're gonna get better.
Yeah, Mike.
That's the gist of it.
Yeah, exactly. That's the compliment sandwich. But you know, sometimes you just gotta tell them, like, look, you're gonna hurt yourself. You know, you're pulling with a rounded back. You know, I've actually hurt myself before. I've actually hurt my back doing a snatch. So
listen, I like you. You know, you're a good guy. We both dig the same tunes and stuff. Listen, because I like you. Let me tell you something. Come on, lean in close. Yeah. You fucking look so terrible right now. I mean, really, my balls suck up into my abdomen when I see you lift.
More.
You're embarrassing the shit out of everybody here and your parents. They worked so hard to raise you, and look at you. What in the fuck are you doing? But listen. But all that shit aside, homie, we're going to work this out. Right? We're going to work on our position. That could warm up, homie. You know, it's all going to get good. You're going to be great. Trust me. That's a compliment Subway sandwich.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much just that, except, you know, try to be a little nicer, but, you know.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll work on that too, my coaching.
All right, real quick, the compliment sandwich is actually a good coaching tool. And actually, it's a good life tool. I think Doug actually taught it to me. He learned it from, I don't know where.
I think Tim Ferriss was the guy who brought that to my attention in the 4-hour work week.
Yeah,
years ago.
What exactly is the compliment sandwich?
You basically just tell someone they're doing a good job, just like Chris suggested. And then you say, okay, now here's your critical feedback. And then you go, but you're still doing a great job. And you do compliment, then suggestion, and then compliment. So you're sandwiching that suggestion positive feedback.
It's also a debating technique where if you just answer somebody, say, look, this is why this is wrong. The audience gets tense. The guy is going to automatically start rejecting what you're saying. So you say, look, I agree with these things for those reasons. That's good stuff. Now let me say where I don't agree. Now let me make a joke that makes us all laugh. And then they accept what you have to say. That's how you actually communicate with people.
Right. All right, now people know how to negotiate better.
Damn it.
This is a negotiation.
It's supposed to be about weightlifting.
It is.
Tell somebody how to get better as a negotiation.
Communicating with athletes, man. That's what it's all about.
Mm. Right on, dude.
We go on forever. We probably should wrap this up.
All right, guys. We are going to stop podcasting now, and we are going to...
Plug things.
Alex wanted to talk about something.
Shameless plug.
Now's the time.
Do it.
All right. So we're going to have the Barbell Shrug Weightlifting Championships October 26th through the 27th at Faction Strength and Conditioning here in Memphis, Tennessee. So
CTP is providing the title belt for the winner.
CTP's got a title belt.
Is that true?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Dude, we should make something that goes on top that's custom, like over
it's
the
plate. It's going to be epic, guys.
Yeah. If you're in the Muscle Gain Challenge, you get a free entry. So unless you live halfway around the globe, there's no reason why you shouldn't try to come down here and lift. We're planning
to be a great time.
Yeah, we're planning. We have some big plans, you know, in the making. So it's going to be good. And I mean, it's going to be a USAW sanctioned meet. It's right before the American Open. I think the American Open is in December.
It's far enough out from the American Open. I think it's about 7 weeks, which is going to allow you to qualify for the American Open without it being so close that, you know, you're not going to be able to peak again, I guess.
Right.
You could say.
And if you've never done a weightlifting meet, I mean, a good chance to do it is just go to a local place and do one. It's, you know, it's not as you know, tents, you know, just come and have fun. Yeah, exactly.
We're going to have a good time.
Very casual.
We're going to try and make this one the better meets that you could ever go to.
We're going to party harder after too, right?
And we're going to have a great time. It's not going to be just competing. We're going to be doing some hanging out.
Festivities.
Yeah, if you're just a fan of the show, even if you're not going to compete in the meet, and you live close enough to Memphis where you want to make a trip and just come hang out, come watch the meet.
We'll podcast. You know,
hang out with us. And
we have special friends coming.
We'll go out drinking.
Are there special friends coming?
We're working on special friends.
Okay.
Guest appearances from some notable figures.
Notable figures in the community of ours.
That's what we're going to do.
And we're probably going to be drinking tequila in some form and eating charred meat and bullshit and podcast. I mean, come on, dude. Come on down.
We should probably get Bedrock Eats and Sweets to come out and provide the food.
Epic. It's already epic.
It's a great idea.
I heard she was sponsoring a meet.
Oh.
I'm just making that up. I'm going to put it on the spot.
We can get Nourish, you know, get some muffins for breakfast.
Yeah, right. You try those muffins, homie. Yeah. What? They're delicious.
That's good post-workout right there.
Yeah. So, yeah, last weekend in October, y'all come on down.
Come on down.
All right, guys. See you next time.
Anybody else want to plug shit?
No. No.
What happened? Don't sign up for the newsletter piece.
God. Oh, yeah. All right, guys. Don't forget to sign up for the newsletter barbellstruck.com. Bye.
5 stars. Bye.
I'll let Chris.
You're gonna let me plug.
I'm gonna let you plug something.
I'm so fortunate.
a lot of trick closes on this episode.
Yeah, it's a tricky episode. Barbellbuddha.com. Check out the podcast. I think you'll really like it. Barbell Buddha in your iTunes and be entertained. I think you'll get a kick out of it.
If you're a CrossFit coach, go to barbellbellbusiness.com. We got our business podcast out now.
Oh, yeah.
Which has been doing really well.
Forgot about that.
It was
only like top three in the business category the other day, whatever.
It climbed the ranks really fast.
You might even say that if you're not on all of our bandwagons and you're not observing the growing empire, you're just fucking out. You got to get with it. We're taking over the whole show. Everything. The whole world. We're going to have fucking barbell shopping centers. Barbell fucking restaurants. I don't know. Shit. Who's putting limits on this thing?
This guy.
That's right. Rob's like, how do we pay for that exactly?
All right, guys. See you next time.
Thanks, guys.
All right.